2 Corinthians chapter 9, and we're going to learn. It's actually the title of this message is Lessons from the Farm on Generosity. We're going to go to the farm today. Everybody ready to go to the farm today? And we're going to learn lessons about generosity. And so 2 Corinthians chapter 9 is where we will start at. And as you know me, that's going to be our main scripture text, but I have a lot of other scriptures that I want to give you. And this is, I just want to say this right up front as I teach on this, is this is not a heaven or hell issue, okay, what I'm teaching you today. But this is a, meaning you can live on this planet and accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior and never give anything and still go to heaven. But you're going to miss out on a whole lot in life because God is a giver. And I'm talking, when I say giving, most people immediately when they hear a preacher talk about giving, and I am going to talk about that today, they immediately think about money, and that's part of it. But I'm talking about giving your time, your talents, your strength, you know, everything about you to the Lord is what I'm talking about. You showing up this morning, you're giving your time to honor God. You're taking time out of your busy lives to say, God, I'm coming for an hour and a half or an hour on a Sunday morning, and I'm going to worship you today and give you thanks for everything that you've done in my life. You're giving something this morning by being here. Amen. And you're being generous. And God, the nature of God is generous. God is a giver. I mean, God gave his only son to die in your place. Think about that. We could just say amen and go home right there. That's what, but God wants his nature to come into you, and he wants you to be a giver. And the reason why he wants you to be a giver is because he has a whole lot of wealth in the heavenlies that I'm talking, you know, financial is part of it, spiritual riches in heavenly places, all kinds of wealth that he's wanting to deposit into you so that you can be a distributor of his wealth in the earth. But he does not give that kind of wealth to the stingy. He gives it to people that are givers. And if you're a giver, then he can look at you and say, I know her or him, they're going to be a distribution unit for me, and I'm going to give them everything that I have so that they can give to those that are in need. See that? You're not giving to get, you're giving to give. So you can give more and more and more. And you can't outgive God. Amen. So if we can't outgive God and God wants us to give, then every one of you in here have the capacity to be wealthy. I want you to think about that. It's not just a select few. And I'm going to explain all this because we started this last Sunday, and each message is a standalone message, but I encourage you to go back and get the podcast from last Sunday. Thanks, Travis Bourne, for putting them on hfchurch.com. But we talked about the cure for the poverty mindset. The reason why God can't give us more wealth, and I'm talking about spiritually, emotionally, mentally, physically, financially, relationally, in every area of our lives, is because we have poverty mindsets. And I've been reading a book about this, and it has really challenged me because it showed me areas in my life where I had a poverty mindset. And so I'm going to do this so that you understand what I'm talking about. I'm going to show you the contrast between a poverty and a wealth mindset and a rich versus a wealth mindset. Because there's poverty, rich, and then there's wealth. And we all want to be wealthy in God. God wants you to be wealthy. And I'm going to explain that to you through some contrast. And we're going to start off with poverty versus wealth mindset. Poverty lives for today, but wealth leaves a legacy. I just want you to listen to these and think about them. That's the first one. Poverty lives for today, but wealth leaves a legacy. Poverty finds a problem in every opportunity, while wealth finds an opportunity in every problem. Poverty feels entitled, while wealth feels empowered. Do you think we got some poverty mindsets in the world today? Everybody feels entitled, where wealth feels empowered. Poverty fears the future, yet wealth makes history. Poverty blames others for its condition, but wealth takes responsibility for things that are not its fault. Poverty asks, what are you going to do for me? And wealth asks, who is worthy of my investment? Poverty hangs around with other disgruntled sorts who validate its accusations but wealth surrounds itself with other powerful influencers. Poverty votes for candidates who will increase its entitlements, while wealth elects officials who will sacrifice today's comfort for tomorrow's children. Hello. Amen to that one. Now what we're going to do is we're going to contrast the difference between rich mindsets and wealthy mindsets. And as I said just a while ago, rich and wealthy are two different things. I'm trying to get this wealth mindset into all of us, including myself. Here's the first one. Rich people get their identity from things they own, their houses, cars, yachts, money, etc. Wealthy people's identity comes from who they are, not what they own. Rich people either spend a lot of time trying not to lose their money or spend time wasting it on themselves. Wealthy people's money is just an expression of who they are, so they are confident in their well-being. Rich people work for money, while wealthy people's money works for them. Rich people think of their assets, but wealthy people dream of their legacy. Rich people give to people. Wealthy people invest in people with the expectation of a return on their investment, measured by a predetermined outcome. Examples are a changed life, a transformed neighborhood, a business profit, etc. Rich people think that their money protects them. They have a sense of being above the law. Solomon put it like this: a rich man's wealth is his strong city and like a high wall in his own imagination. That's Proverbs 18, verse 11. But wealthy people are inherently humble because they are thankful, knowing that the source of their provision is the Lord. Rich people have a vision for things they can buy. Wealthy people have a vision for the legacy they are leaving. Rich people compete for money. Wealthy people are compelled by destiny. Rich people step on others to move up. Wealthy people measure success by the people they help up. The rich person's business goal is to make money, whereas a wealthy person's profession yields profit as the fruit of serving others well. That's all a mouthful, I know. But that I read that so that you can understand the difference between a poverty mindset, a rich mindset, and a wealth mindset, and we all want to be in the wealth mindset. And everybody said amen. All right, I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and I'm going to bring it up here on the big screen in case you didn't bring your Bibles. And there it is, 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 through 15. And as I was studying this week, I really like the New Living Translation, so I took that one as our translation for today. New Living is kind of a paraphrase translation. It speaks like we speak in everyday language, and so I really like how they translated it. But in 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 through 15, it says, "Remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously," everybody say generously, "will get a generous crop. You must each decide in your heart how much to give, and don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully." So put a smile on your face as you're giving. "And God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others." Verse 9 says, "As the scripture says, they share freely and give generously to the poor. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. For God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and their bread to eat. In the same way, he will provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you." God's more, I want you to notice that. He is more, God wants this generous, wealthy spirit to be happening on the inside of you. Everybody see that? Something going on the inside of you. Verse 11 says, "Yes, you will be enriched in every way so that you can always be generous. And when we take your gifts to those who need them, they will thank God." There is actually a ministry in the body of Christ called the ministry of giving. And we need lots of givers. And we all have the capacity to be wealthy and to give more. And God, I just want to stretch you today. God wants you to be giving more than you're giving right now. All of us, including myself. But we have to increase our capacity to give more. And so that ministry of giving, I don't know about you, but I want to be a giver. Amen. And I want to give extravagantly. God doesn't want you. We have too many people, and it's like the children of Israel. Whenever they were in bondage and God was bringing them out, their mindset was that they were slaves. And we just barely getting by. And God brought them out into the wilderness, trying to change their mindset to get them into the promised land so that they could live in a land of more than enough. But they still had the mindset of just enough and barely enough. Does everybody understand what I'm talking about? That mindset was there, and God was trying to get it out of them. So if you're taking notes on the back of your bulletin there, you can write down this, lessons from the farm, and I'm going to give you four lessons that we can learn from a farmer today. And I'm trying to make this as practical so you understand what God is trying to say through this passage of Scripture. So I'm going to give you four things or four lessons from the farm. And here's the first one. Let me read the rest of this passage. Verse 12 says, so two good things will result from this ministry of giving. There it is, the ministry of giving. The needs of the believers in Jerusalem will be met, and they will joyfully express their thanks to God. As a result of your ministry, they will give glory to God for your generosity to them, and to all believers will prove that you are obedient to the good news of Christ. So your giving shows that you're obedient to Christ. Does everybody see that? Verse 14 says, and they will pray for you with deep affection because of the overflowing grace God has given to you. Thank God for this gift too wonderful for words, the gift of giving, the ministry of giving. And we're right smack dab in the middle of this, the fires in Western Oklahoma. Thank God for all the people that have rallied around this to give. And everybody can do something. And our church has done something. I talked to Dusty this week, and so I want you to know what you're giving to Harvest Fellowship Church has done. We have made a donation to our local fire department here in Leedy, but we also recognize that the whole county was involved in this. So we made a donation to every fire department in Dewey County. Amen. To help out. Yeah. So every one of you are a part of that. And there's a lot of other things that are going to be going on in the days to come in our county. And I just encourage you to pray, first of all, and ask God where he wants you to sow at and sow. Do what you can. And if everybody does what we can, then we'll be back up on our feet in no time. Amen. And Dusty and I have already talked as the church finances and your giving, one of the things that we're wanting to do, because we know it's going to be a huge need here pretty soon, is the rebuilding of fence in this area. And so we're wanting to make a donation to help out with fence supplies. And so, you know, and I'm just giving you these ideas that are coming up. And maybe you say, well, I can't give monetarily, but maybe you can give a day of your time to go build fence somewhere. You know, it's just something. Just every one of us can do something. And that's what the Apostle Paul was talking about here. He was actually taking a gift of giving monetary money to the church in Jerusalem because they were in need. And that's what he was telling the Corinthians church, the church at Corinth to do, is every one of you have the capacity to give. Give something. Give as God has given to you, and don't hold back right now. And as you do that, God's going to keep giving more to you so you can be a bigger giver. And everybody said amen. So this is not, I just want you to get this, guys, because I know there's a lot of, I believe in the prosperity gospel if it's taught right, but there's a lot of ditches in the prosperity gospel. This is not a give to get. This is not a give to get a big car or a big house. This is a give to give. This is a give so that I can be a distribution center for the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to be found trustworthy that God can funnel millions of dollars through me to help the kingdom of God so that we can all get out here and go home. Amen. And everybody said amen. And I shouldn't say it like that, not get out of here and go home, but actually to make a difference in this world. God gave this to us. I should reword that. Not so we can fly the coop, but so that we can establish his kingdom in the earth. And we've got to get that mindset. So I'm going to stretch your thinking today. If you underestimate your ability to give, you will undermine your capacity to receive. The reason why some of us are not good givers in here is because we're not very good at receiving from God and receiving from others. We just, oh gosh, no, you can't give me money. You know, you can't give me anything right now. You know, when we do this, and it's pride, guys. I mean, if you go back in the book of Acts, the church in the book of Acts, and I'm there with these fires and different things that's been going on, I'm like, God, what are you doing? And God's been showing me through this book that I've been studying and through the scripture is that we don't have a wealth mindset in the in the book of Acts, they had a wealth mindset, and the Bible says when they brought they sold everything and brought it to the apostles' feet and said, distribute it like you want, and everybody lived in community and together, and nobody had a need. They did something right. Something was going on in the book of Acts that hasn't happened here yet, and I believe it's going to happen, and it was what we call this wealth mindset. This wealth mindset. Everybody helping one another, and we get out of here, and everybody helping one another. We live in a very selfish world. Very selfish. And, oh man, I'm going to get on my soapbox here in just a little bit, but we do. We really do. And a lot of people that feel like they're entitled to this and to that and this and that. And guys, God wants us all to be givers. And if we're all givers, then nobody's ever going to have a need. And I'm not talking throw your brains out. You got to have wisdom. I don't give to everybody that I see standing on a street corner. I don't. Some people need to go get a job. Amen. I mean, you've got to use wisdom too. But every one of us has the capacity to give more. Now, here's the lessons from the farm, all right? There's four of them. Number one, God wants you to sow a lot. Look at somebody and say, sow a lot. This is the scripture that I sent out this morning on our Harvest Time Club. 2 Corinthians 9:6 says, remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. May we have the wisdom of a farmer. If you're wanting a big crop, you're going to have to sow a lot. If you're wanting a crop of love in your marriage, you're going to have to not sow a bunch of kindness at work to your coworkers. You're going to have to sow a whole bunch of kindness and love in your marriage to your spouse. Everybody get that? You can't say, "Well, I sowed at work. I was kind to everybody at work." But then I come home and it's World War III at home. Well, what are you sowing at home? You got to sow it at home. Wherever you sow it, that's where you're going to reap it. And I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit. But wealth is not determined by what you have. It is predicated on what you give away. It has nothing to do with your bank account. It has to do with what you give away. I'm going to give you an example of a farmer here on sow a lot. Just think about a farmer who had 100 acres out here, and that 100 acres took care of his family. And so he decided he had enough wheat that he could purchase enough, let's use wheat for example, enough grain to plant 50 acres that year. And so he plants 50 acres, he waits, he perseveres through that, you know, through all the seasons, he reaps the harvest. And then he puts back a little bit of seed so that the next year, that year he can sow 75 acres. Then he works that ground up, breaks out 25 more acres, and then plants and has the harvest a year later. And then he holds back a little bit more seed, and he's able to plant the whole 100 acres. That farmer has got a wealth mindset. He's thinking ahead. He's sowing for the future, and he's sowing a lot. He's doing what he can. And each year it gets bigger and bigger, and that's what God wants to do in your life. All right, here's Luke 6:38 on sow a lot. Luke 6:38 says, give and you will receive. Your gift will return to you in full, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more, running over and poured into your lap. The amount you give will determine the amount you get back. That's a big one. The amount you give will determine the amount you give back. And I'm talking about in every area of your life. What are you giving in your marriage? What are you giving at work? Whatever the amount you give will determine the amount you get back. All prosperity begins with give, which means that everybody in the world, even in third world countries, has the capacity for wealth from God. Everybody said, amen. All right, here's another scripture. Powerful revelation in this scripture. Psalms 126 verses 5 through 6 says, those who plant in tears will harvest with shouts of joy. They weep as they go to plant their seed, but they sing as they return with the harvest. And the reason why they're weeping as they go to plant their seed, because they're like, I need this to feed my family. And God saying, no, you need to sow this so that you have a harvest to not only feed your family, but feed another family as well. So they weep as they go to plant their seed, but they sing as they return with the harvest. Look at somebody and say, you need to plant your seed. You need to plant your seed. And then the other scripture that Jesus taught us about was in Luke chapter 21, verses 1 through 4, and this was the widow's offering. And this is what Jesus said about giving. He says, while Jesus was in the temple, he watched the rich people drop their gifts. Remember the rich? There's a difference between the rich and the wealthy. While Jesus was in the temple, he watched the rich people dropping their gifts in the collection box. Then a poor widow came by and dropped in two small coins. And Jesus said, I tell you the truth, Jesus said, this poor widow has given more than all the rest of them. He was saying, basically, she's more wealthy than all the rich people here. That's what she was saying, what he was saying. And verse 4 says, for they have given a tiny part of their surplus, but she, poor as she is, has given everything she has. And Jesus saw it. I wish Jesus would have told us what happened with her after that, after doing that giving. But he didn't, because he's like, giving, it's not giving to get, it's giving because of what I'm doing in your heart. God's concerned about what's going on the inside of you. All right, here's number two. Lesson number two is you sow. Look at somebody and say, you need to sow a lot. Some of us need to start sowing. So you may need to look at somebody and say, starting. Lesson number two, you reap what you sow. You reap what you sow. And I just talked about that a little bit. Galatians 6:7 says, don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. You will always harvest what you plant. This week I had a pastor's meeting in Oklahoma City. Once a month I have pastor meetings with our association of churches that we're with, Trinity Fellowship Association of Churches. And we had a meeting this Thursday in Oklahoma City. We always have a meeting in a hotel meeting room, and all the pastors in Oklahoma come together, and it's a great time. We pray for one another. We have a teaching piece and everything, and we got up there, and everybody's talking about the economy right now, and everybody's talking about, you know, every church's giving is down, and it's just like woe unto me. And I'm sitting there going, I'm encouraged because I'm not the only one. You know, I'm sitting there going, this is awesome. And I'm encouraged by everybody else's discouragement. And our the leader of our group is Pastor Cody Anderson from up at Meno, and I know most of you in here know him. And he's getting up and he's talking about our teaching piece, and he said I've heard the consensus in the room that everybody's giving is down, and he said, so let's work through that as a problem issue. What can we do as a church to so that we increase our capacity to receive more? And boy, my ears perked up, because this is something I've been studying. I was like, I'm gonna see what Cody says and what these other pastors say. And so everybody's going around and everybody's saying, oh, you need to teach on giving. You need to tell your people to tithe in the name of Jesus, you know? And we're all getting up on our soapbox saying what we need to do and what we need to teach and what we need, you know, send out mailers, get on Facebook, social media. And Cody, just exactly what I've been learning in this book, he said, no, you need to get with the elders in your church, the people that are, you know, over the church finances, and find out where you need to sow. And I was like, we're on the right track, because a need came up in our area, in our community. And, you know, it's not just to sow, guys. You got to sow with wisdom. And where's God telling you? And this time, God was saying, there's fires all in Dewey County. Everybody needs help. And so we sowed. And I'm like, praise God. Praise God. I'm going to share a story. I wasn't going to share this because I don't want this to come across as give to get, all right? I hope you get this before you leave here today. I do not want this to come across as give to get, because it's give to give. It's give so that we can increase our capacity to be able to give more. But there was a situation that made me think about this, a fire that happened several years ago, and it was a fire that was somebody that was connected to our church, and we helped them out. And we helped them out to a tune of $3,000 is what we had that Dusty and I had talked about what we could do to help them. And we gave with pure hearts to help them in this situation, in this fire. And it was a real blessing to them. They even sent us a thank you and thanked us very much as our church. And I didn't get up and tell everybody this, because there's just sometimes, you know, and I need to be more transparent, I know, and of that, but I don't want the right hand to know it. I'm not one up here and say, oh, yeah, Pastor Mark and our church is the best. We gave through, you know, and I don't want to go on all over social media and all that stuff. But I feel like I need to tell this story because of what happened. And I didn't give to get. I gave to give. Let me get that. I do know English a little bit, proper grammar. And so we gave, and the next Sunday, I think it was the next, it was either that next Sunday or a few weeks later, and these people don't even go to church here anymore, but somebody came in our church and handed Dusty a card. And at that time, we were believing, all of us that were on staff and leadership in our church, we were believing that we need to cancel this note. We just knew that God had spoke to our hearts. We need to cancel the note that's, I mean, get it paid off as fast as we can. Little did we know that it was because of where we were coming up in our economy at that time. And this person come in the church and said, we inherited some money from a relative that had passed away, and a large sum of money, and we felt like that God told us that we needed to sow it here. And it was, listen to this, we gave $3,000, and what came back was $30,000. And we used that to pay the note off, to pay it down even more, every single dime of it. God is good. You can't outgive God. We didn't give to get, but that's what happened. We gave to give, and God said, look what I'm fixing to do. And what I'm telling you, what you sow, that's what you're going to get back. So if you sow love, what are you going to get back? Love. If you sow hate, what are you going to get back? Hate. So watch what you post on Facebook. if you sow finances, you're going to, I mean, it's just what God, that's how God set this whole thing up. It's not me, it's God. Look, say God did it. That's the way he set it up. You reap what you sow. And here's the scripture to prove it, Genesis 1:12. The land produced vegetation, all sorts of seed-bearing plants, and trees with seed-bearing fruit. Their seeds produced plants and trees of the same kind, and God saw that it was good. You don't plant an apple tree and get a peach tree, right? I mean, it's in nature, but even in the spiritual realm, and yes, you can sow money as a seed, and it will produce a harvest. It will. It may not be as immediately as it did in that situation, but it will. It will produce. All right, here's number three. You reap after you sow. And I know everybody's out there going, dirty dirt. Yeah, you reap after you sow. A lot of people want to reap before they sow. You know, I want people to love me. Well, how about you love some people first? Or I want some friends. Well, won't you be friendly? You know, then you'll have friends. You have to sow first before you reap. It is a principle of the kingdom of God in nature and in every area of life. You're always eating, and this is another thing, you reap after you sow. You're always eating last year's crop. You know, just like the farmer, this is the wisdom of the farmer. You're always eating last year's crop. Some people live a selfish life for many years, then suddenly decide to be generous. A month after they are saying that, they say nothing is happening. Now, here's what I'm going to tell you, because I know a lot of you are getting this wisdom today. I have been too. And God's saying, I want you to get generous, getting more generous with your time, your talents, your treasures, everything about you. But don't come to me 1 month later and say nothing's happening. I'm going back to my selfish ways. Because changing a life cycle, and this is a life cycle, getting in this kingdom life cycle, changing a life cycle is a process that requires patience and perseverance. So stuff you're sowing today, you may not reap until a year from now. You may not reap until several years from now. Some of the stuff, and I'm going to tell you this right now, some of the stuff that you're sowing today, you may not reap until eternity. But sow, you got to sow today. Look at somebody say, sow today. All right, here, so this is number four. Is so now. So now. Luke 16:10. And here's where I have been here, guys. I have been here. So, well, when I get some money, I'll sow. when I get something, I'll sow. No, you need to sow now. If you're not faithful with $5, you're not going to be faithful with $500. If you're not faithful with the $100, you're not going to be faithful with the $1,000. Amen. I mean, you got to start somewhere. Wherever that's at. That's where you start at. And then as you start, your capacity to give more and do more increases and grows. I read a story about a pastor that was in this book, and he was teaching this, and he's teaching this about, you know, don't give to get, and he was saying give to give, and he was talking about whatever you sow, you're going to reap, and all this, and so he said, God was teaching me this principle, but as he was teaching me this, he was maturing me at the same time, and I didn't know it, but as I look back, he was maturing me. And he said, I started pastoring on staff at Redding, California, at Bethel Church. And he said, when God began to teach me these kingdom principles about wealth, I was on the front row of church, and I was worshiping God. He said, and I had a watch on, and I'm worshiping. And he goes, and nobody knew it, but this is between me and God. I like watches. I like timepieces. And he said, just a little thing that I like. And he said, and I went and bought a $110 Seiko watch. And he said, and that was a lot of money for me and my wife at that time in our lives because we were broke, but I liked to watch, and that's what I went. And he said, and as I'm worshiping God, there's a guy two rows behind me that saw my watch, and he said, hey, I'll trade you watches. And he was like, gosh, dang, no, I just bought this. You know, and this is what I was thinking in my spirit, because God knew what happened in this, and I want you to realize it has nothing to do with the watch. It has all to do with what was going on in his heart and what God was trying to increase his capacity for wealth. And he said reluctantly, I was like, oh, gosh, this guy's asking. He's wanting to trade watches, so I'm going to get another watch. And his watch don't really appeal to me, but I'll go ahead and take it. So they switched watches. And he said as soon as he got that watch, something happened to it, and it wasn't telling time or something. He's like, great, the guy gave me a broke watch, and he's got a brand-new Seiko, you know, for $110. So he goes to his local jewelry store and goes in, and he tells him, hey, I got this watch, and can you fix it? And he's like, yeah. And he goes, boy, that's a nice watch there. He goes, really? And I can't remember the brand of it. Some of you probably know, but if I remember the brand of it. But he said, yeah, we got a brand. He goes, we can fix that for you. That's no problem. It won't cost very much. But we've got a new one here. And he goes, a brand new one of that watch is $1,500. It's like, wow, God, that was a great exchange that day at church, you know. And he said, so he went overseas a few months later. He said God just through this watch was teaching me something. And he said, I went overseas and I had another pastor that started that was over in another country. He's like, man, I sure do like your watch, you know. And he kept saying that to me every time we came together to worship. And he goes, I was over teaching several conference deals for pastors, and he kept coming up to me, man, I really like that watch. And he goes, I was struggling with it. He's like, because he's like, I was in this dilemma. It's like God was saying, I want you to give that watch to that pastor. And he's like, no, you just gave me this watch. And so he said, I was sitting there struggling with it and going, God, I gave a $100 watch, got a $1,500 watch back, and you're wanting me to give this watch to this pastor that keeps asking me about it. He's like, yeah. And then this is what the guy said, this pastor. He goes, then what are you going to get me? And God said, I ain't getting you nothing. I told you to give that watch. And he said, I just want you to be obedient right now. Let me take care of everything else. And so he gave that watch to that pastor. And, of course, don't know if he got another watch or whatever, but he said the whole thing was it wasn't give to get a watch. It was give so that God could increase my capacity to give more. And not hang on to stuff. We have too many people hanging on to stuff. So what this scripture is saying, what Jesus is saying, if you're faithful in little things, you'll be faithful in large ones. But if you're dishonest in little things, you won't be honest with greater responsibilities. And he was saying, if I wouldn't have been honest with that $110 Seiko, and if I wouldn't have been obedient to do what God told me to do, God couldn't have trusted me with more. But then he trusted me with more, and then I really had a hard time giving the $1,500 watch away. And God said, I want you to give it away and don't expect anything in return. I'm just looking for your obedience. And then I can trust you. Your capacity is growing to be able to give more. The deal with so now, guys, is I'm telling you right now, a lot of people sit there and they go, well, I'm going to wait till I have something. So now. I'm going to wait until the economy gets gets better. So now. I'm going to wait until I get a job. No, so now. You got something you can sow. You got something you can give. Your time, your talents, and your treasures. Those are the things that God's looking at. To be a T-rated Christian is what I like to say. Time, talents, and treasures. That I'm going to be a person that gives my time, my talent, and my treasures. And everybody said?
Amen.
All right. Can Pastor get on his soapbox real quick? I love you guys. I've been a pastor, and I'm not talking to anybody here. Just want you to know that. But I've been a pastor for 18 years here, been in pastoral ministry for 25 years, and this bears the truth. This bears true. I've been in lots of different churches, lots of different areas here in Western Oklahoma, but I've had several people come up to me and say this: I'm not getting anything out of church. And here's what I want to tell you. I want to ask you a question. What are you sowing into it? What are you giving into it? Because I can guarantee you the ones that have said that to me are people that don't give a dime, don't do their time, don't do anything. And there's lots of areas you can serve here as a greeter, a nursery, children's church, there's all in youth ministry, there's all kinds of, but the ones that come and serve, I'm bragging on Carrie and Patricia today. They could have stayed home in bed they wanted to, but they'd been up all night with the prom, and I got here to church. I thought I got here pretty early this morning, but they were already here, already here serving, and the people that give reap, guys. They reap the benefits and the blessings from it, but the people that feel like they're entitled and give me, and I don't want to give a dime, I don't want to do anything, you're not going to grow. You're going to stay as spiritually immature for the rest of your life. And God wants us to increase our capacity to give so that we can grow and serve. I mean, the first thing that happened to me when I got saved is I wanted to serve. And I was in a church, in a local church, and the first thing I heard the pastor say is we need help with rural rangers, with little boys. It's like a boy scout kind of deal. So I started serving in there and had a blast doing it. And actually, that was where I started learning how to pastor little bitty guys. And we had fun. Went on camping trips, and I could tell you some great stories about camping trips. Let me tell you one. Can I tell you one? This is in closing today. We went on a camping trip, had a bunch of little boys, 7, 8, 9 years old. We go up in eastern Oklahoma. We're on this camping trip. We're going to have a great time. This huge thunderstorm comes rolling in that night. And we just got all these boys down to bed, and you're seeing flashlights turn on in their tents and stuff, and you're screaming at them, be quiet, it was fun ministry. We had a lot of fun, but we were all sitting down, laying down, and then, man, it starts raining, and it's pouring, and it's the thunder and lightning, it's cracking, and this other guy that was with me, Dennis Cook, and he asked me, Mark, what do we need to do? And I was like, let's get all these boys loaded up, because I have a feeling they're gonna have to cancel this whole thing, because it's flooding right now, and we're probably gonna have to be going home. And there's other, rural ranger camps around us, and you can hear everybody scurrying and little boys screaming like little girls. I mean, it was bad. And so, it was a bad thunderstorm. And so we're all loading up we had this old church van, and we get all in there. And I'm telling you guys, because it was in the summer, and it was just that hot, muggy, smelling little kids. Oh, yeah, it was a great smell. And I'm like, boy, this is a great ministry, Jesus. And we're getting them all loaded up. And I said, Dennis, and I'm sitting in the driver's seat. Dennis is in the captain's seat in this van. We got all the boys in the back. And they're throwing stuff in the back, their bags, and it's not even packed. And we're just trying to pile it all in there. And somebody was saying, well, we need to get the tents. I was like, no, we're just going to get in here and let this blow over, and then we'll find out what they're going to do, if we're going to cancel this whole thing, and we can get the tents after it's over. And so I look at Dennis. I said, Dennis, make sure we got everybody, because it's dark. And Dennis starts counting. He goes, oh, man, we're missing this one kid. And I can't remember his name, but I felt so bad. It's funny now. It wasn't funny at the time. So I take off running down there with the flashlight, and I get down there to where we were camped at, because it was about 50 yards for us to run to where our our van was at. And I go running down there. I got the flashlight, and I'm looking for him. And all of a sudden, I hear this kid screaming. I look over there, and he is still zipped up in his tent. But he is running up the path trying to get to us. And I had to go find, I had to get him zipped out of the tent. And I'll never forget that. I'll never forget that. And we came home. We came home from that trip because they canceled it. And we came home, and Dennis, on our way home, I was tired. I was wore out. I was ready to dump these kids off and go home. And Dennis told me, he said, Mark, I just feel like God, and I like, don't use the God card on me, man. He said, I feel like God said that we need to take these boys back to we had a family life center at a church there, like a fellowship hall. And he said, we just need to camp out one night there and minister to these boys. I was like, you think God told you that? Yeah, I really do. It's like, God. Ah. I knew in my heart too. And so we did, and we had all this food, you know, that we had. And so we made a great little camp out. And I'm going to tell you what, guys, the most powerful church service that I've ever been in was with those little boys when we got back from that camp. And it was that night, and we didn't have no worship music. We were just in there, and I taught a little devotion to them, and then Dennis and I started ministering to them. And 2 hours later, we were still sitting there in the presence of God, and every one of these little boys just behaving themselves and just loving on Jesus and praying. And I had to just stop and look around. I was like, God, you are good. Because just 24 hours ago, they were all screaming like little girls. But it was so awesome. And the reason why we had that time of reaping that time that I would have never had is because we sowed that time into it. And there are going to be times, guys, where you feel tired. And I thank God Jesus didn't say that. Oh, I'm tired. I don't want to go to the cross. I'm just ready to go home. Take me out of here. You know, thank God he pressed through that. He went to the cross to reap us as a harvest. He gave himself for us. We're never going to outgive that. Look at somebody say, so now. This is the last scripture. Ecclesiastes 11, verse 4. It says, farmers who wait for perfect weather never plant. If they watch every cloud, they never harvest. And I'm telling you guys, you can't wait for perfect conditions to sow. Well, I'll sow when we've been using money as example. I'll sow into my marriage. I'll love on Jada when I feel like loving her. And right now I don't feel like it. I do, babe. I'm just using that as an example. She's looking at me like, you better. I'm scared. When you sow love, you reap love. Amen. And you need to sow even when you don't feel like it. It's not a feeling. You have to sow in faith. And everybody said, amen. Did everybody learn something today? That's Lessons from the Farm on generosity. And this is a character trait that God really wants to get into you. But he can't just, it's nothing I can go up and lay hands on you and say, you receive the spirit of generosity. It's a choice. It's a lifestyle. And God wants you to be just like him and be a giver. I want everyone to bow your heads in here this morning, and I want to pray over you and over us as we leave here today. But the first thing that I do, and I want to make sure that everybody here and those that are watching on Church's Aid and hfchurch.com and also who listen to this on the radio, want to make sure that you do know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. That's the greatest thing that can happen today is salvation. And it's very, very simple and easy. It's what I call the prayer of salvation. Out of Romans 10, it says, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. And then it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So I want to lead you in this prayer of salvation. And even if you are saved today, I want you to repeat this prayer after me with them, okay? Say, Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I believe you are the Son of God. You died on the cross for me, and you rose again on the third day. Please forgive me of my sins and create a clean heart in me. Renew my spirit so I can hear your voice. I accept you as my Savior. You are my Lord. Thank you for saving me. And everybody said, amen. I want you to stand up now. And I want you to take the the hand of the person next to you. And Jade, I'd like for you to come up here with me. And I want to pray over all of us and pray a prayer of blessing as well. I believe, guys, I know I do this every Sunday, but there is power. God keeps reminding me and showing me there is power in the spoken word. Mm-hmm. And so in your situation, in your home, over your marriage, over your family, you need to be speaking the word over your situations, okay? And I want to pray this over all of us today. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus, and Lord, I thank you for this revelation that we have received today about being generous. And so, Lord, I'm praying that this spirit of generosity is going to rest on each one here today. It's going to rest on this house of worship in the name of Jesus. God, God, we're going to increase our capacity to be generous, God, that we're going to be obedient to the things that you're telling us to do, whether it's our time, our talents, our treasures, or all three. God, whatever we can do, that we're going to do what you're asking us to do. And so, Lord, I pray that as we learn these lessons from the farm, that we're going to sow a lot. Yes. We're going to sow in all areas, God, time, talent, and treasures, God, that we're going to reap what we sow. So, God, we're going to sow the right things. We're going to do the right things and sow love and be generous and all those kind of things, Lord. And, God, we realize, Lord, that we're going to reap after we sow. Sowing comes first. Reaping comes later. And, Lord, no matter how long we got to wait, we're going to keep sowing until we reap that harvest. So, Lord, I pray that people not get weary in well-doing, for in due season they're going to reap a harvest in Jesus' name. And then today, Lord, I know that the Holy Spirit, I know you work in mysterious ways and your wonderful ways in our lives. And I know that you're speaking to each one here what we need to do, where we need to give, what it is, God. And so, Lord, I pray that people would be obedient today and sow now in Jesus' name. God, that they wouldn't wait until some other time. They wouldn't wait till, well, it's going to be more perfect time if I wait another month or another year. God, I pray that we would sow now in Jesus' name. Yes. Now, Lord, I want to bless your people today. God, I want to sow a blessing over your people today. Now, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you, and may the Lord give you his peace. May the Lord bless your going out and your coming in today. May the Lord anoint you to fulfill the divine destiny that God has given to you. May everything that is brought against you be crushed by the protection that God himself shall provide. May you be blessed in your health. May you be blessed in your relationships. May your children and your children's children be blessed, because they are the heritage of the righteous. From this day forward, as you submit yourselves to the Christ of the cross, may your lives be filled with joy that is unspeakable and full of glory in Jesus' name, and with peace that surpasses all understanding. May your home, as the word of God says, be as the days of heaven on earth. In Jesus' name, we pray and ask it. And everybody said, amen. Amen. I want you to amen. Hug somebody's neck and say, be generous.
Be generous.
Be generous.
Be generous.
I am.